on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn, 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey.
Good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to have you with us on the gloomy and somewhat wet Thursday edition of It's Your Turn. Dr. Nick Neupower is joining us today. He's the president of Butler County Community College. Dr. Neupower, good to see you. Nice to have you back with us.
Thank you, Dave.
Also here is Jess Matnock. She's the executive director of communications and marketing for BC3. Jess, hello.
Hi, good afternoon.
Had the rain resumed when you folks were driving in, or were we still in that kind of cloudy, gloomy state?
There was a little window for us to run into the studio here without rain, but it is definitely dark and gloomy.
A little chilly.
It's been back and forth. I know when I came to work this, actually when I came, it was just a couple of sprinkles, but it was shortly thereafter around 5:30 when it kind of opened up and we had rain for a couple of hours and it tapered off. And, but you're right, it's chilly.
Yeah, chilly.
Well, we're going to be talking about a lot of things that have to do, obviously, with Butler County Community College today. The spring semester has ended, actually, several weeks ago. But the college is far from quiet these days, right? Yeah. Summer is just about as busy as the regular fall and spring semester, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a good statement. Actually, I was mentioning to Jessica on the way over from the college, it's definitely still busy. It is a different type of busy, though. The norm during the fall and the spring semesters is lots of activity on campus, students, faculty, lots of meetings, very quick pace, difficult to get to some larger projects. And while we are certainly thriving up and running at all BC3 locations in addition to our online courses, it does slow down a bit in the summer. There's not as much activity from a student-faculty perspective with the traffic on campus. But it's a great time to tackle larger projects. Just yesterday, Jessica and I were talking about some upcoming marketing or commercials on the TV side of things. And we're doing that deeper dive. It's a great time, I think, to refresh, but we're still hard at it.
Yeah.
Did either of you ever attend a summer session while you were in undergraduate school?
I didn't in undergrad, but I did in graduate school.
In graduate school. That's a little different story.
Yeah. But never a normal summer session.
I did it one time, 1 year, mostly in the summer. I had to work to, you know, earn tuition money for the coming fall semester. But one summer I did go to summer term, and it's a different experience. Yeah. There's not quite as many people. It's hotter. When you're walking around campus, it's a little bit harder to buckle down and study.
I had my last summer at Penn State. I had 9 credits, which was a pretty big load. My first year at University Park, first semester, I had a grandfather who passed away, and I had to drop some classes just with the back and forth to Elwood City with that. And I had a couple of comm courses, and then I had an astronomy course, which I found interesting. Fortunately, I took that with one of my college roommates. You may recall this. He taught both of my summer courses. A few years back, there was a communications professor at Penn State who went out with a younger couple to a certain location on a mountaintop or what have you, and the couple asked this particular professor, his name was Dr. Bettig, to take a look at something, and actually, sadly enough, pushed him over the cliff. I don't know if that rings a bell.
I do remember that now. Yes,
I do remember. A couple years back.
Mm-hmm.
And my professor for these two comm courses in the summer, I believe it was Ronald Bettig, and it was a comm law and a comm theory course. Really just an excellent professor. He was a new professor at the time, and he had a long career at Penn State. Unfortunately, ended in that particular tragedy. And I'm guessing, because I just received one this week, that I still get the communicator from Penn State that goes over what's going on in the School of Communications. And as time has gone on, certainly the professors that taught you and I are long gone.
I still get the communicator as well. But what you mentioned about taking an astronomy course is interesting to me because I've been defending the college experience in recent years. You know, we're seeing more and more stories. They're on TV. They're in magazines. Is college worth it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you're talking strictly from a monetary point of view, okay, maybe we'll argue this. But it's such a valuable time. I took courses that I, not a bunch of them, but courses I didn't have to, but they were tremendously enriching. You took an astronomy course. I took a course in geological sciences, which was fascinating.
Yeah.
I took a course on the history of Vietnam, given the U.S. involvement in the Vietnamese War. It was good stuff.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, that's the time of your life, I think, that you can do that sort of thing.
It opens your eyes to things you didn't know about.
Exactly.
Maybe you might want to explore, especially for students who graduate high school and don't know what it is that they want to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, college is even more valuable experience because it's exposing them to different subject areas and fields.
Totally, 100% agree. And there are many times throughout the course of an academic year where this comes up when I meet with particularly elected officials. And I think that this is part of a larger discussion. Our college came out as the number one ranked return on investment for our graduates. And, of course, we have the lowest tuition in this particular area. And I think we were benchmarked against maybe 60 to 80 colleges. Okay. Could there be some validity if someone would argue, what's the value of the liberal arts whenever a particular student is coming out with $120,000 in debt and starts at a $43,000, $40,000 a year job?
Mm-hmm.
I believe that this is all part of the choices that we make. I could not argue more strongly on behalf of the liberal arts and the well-rounded student. And ironically, what it is that we hear from our advisory boards and those who are in the technical fields is that whenever they get workers, those particular employees struggle with a lot of what's embedded in the liberal arts: critical thinking, oral and written communication, organizational skills, computational skills. So I find it ironic that folks are pushing for this direct pipeline in the technical areas, yet the argument that is put forward about this workforce is that they don't excel with many of what is embedded in the general education or liberal arts. I couldn't agree more with the both of you. I think it's an important part of the academic experience.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the month of June. It's the deadline day for state lawmakers and the governor to reach agreement on a budget. And, of course, administrators in higher education, such as yourself, are watching this very closely in terms of how much of an appropriation is going to be available for, in your case, community colleges. If I remember last year, the state appropriation for community colleges was flatlined. Am I correct on that?
We actually received a little bit of an increase from the state. As time flies, it was the previous two, three, however many years that we were flatlined. But we did receive an increase. Last year was an election, you know, an election year. I think that's fact. And generally, it's been my experience being at it as long as I have now that election years are generally good years for an increase in funding. Okay. To the governor's credit, much of what his agenda for Pennsylvania is matches perfectly with what we offer in the community college sector. And the presidents of the community colleges had an opportunity to explain that to Governor Wolf in early April. It is about these high-priority occupations, workforce development, economic development, a lack of a debt load for students coming out. And frankly, we have been pushing that forward from the 14 colleges, that is our agenda. And it seems like that there is an opportunity here on both the House and the Senate and even the Democrat and Republican side, fingers crossed that we will be getting some kind of an increase. It's budget time for us at the college. We have a board meeting next week. We do not build in any kind of an increase whenever it's a little bit iffy. Mm-hmm. So we will go forward with a balanced budget proposal without an increase from the state. So we're keeping our fingers crossed, and I'm absolutely certain that the legislators in Harrisburg, along with the governor's office, understands the value of our 14 community colleges.
You have a little bit of leeway, certainly in comparison to the public school districts across the state, who are mandated to finalize a budget before June 30th. And we're starting to see this now in the various school districts. I know South Butler just last night finalized their budget. Most of the districts will be doing that over the next couple of weeks. But they have to do it before they know how much they're going to be getting from the state.
Yeah, exactly.
Which just
that's
seems
tough.
Goofy, you know. You have a little bit of leeway, a little bit of flexibility. You don't have a deadline of June 30th or anything like that.
Well, the interesting variable for us, and as time goes on, you read the reports, that this enrollment situation just continues to get more and more interesting. And that's not just for Butler, but that is private, publics, what have you.
Mm-hmm.
And we go forward and we projected, I think, maybe a 1% decrease in enrollment. We're doing pretty well in the summer, but our preliminary fall numbers, there's still lots of time, certainly lesser than 1%. But again, those decisions that were made many years ago for us to go out of county, fortunately, where we're growing right now is out of county. And those students pay a higher tuition rate because we don't get the taxpayer dollars from that local county. So we're growing in Brockway. We are growing in Armstrong County and Ford City. But overall, at this point, still have a ways to go. We're down in enrollment. So what makes it difficult is projecting what that enrollment will be. Mm-hmm. Imagine, and I know this has happened previously at the college many years ago before I was president, or even with some of my colleague presidents, is that let's say that a balanced budget going into the year that the board approves is based on a 2% enrollment increase. Then what happens if enrollment is down 4%? That's 6%, and those are real dollars that you have to make up. So it is a bit of a balancing act, but as we've talked about before, we've really insulated the risk from putting all of our eggs in the 18 to 22-year-old basket with all of our efforts in Butler, out of county, but also on the continuing ed workforce and public safety side as well.
Yeah, a lot of what used to be called non-traditional students. Yeah. I hardly think that applies anymore because there are so many people who are older than 18 to 22 who are going to Butler County Community College. I know, Jess, in your stories on commencement a few weeks back, you had, was a grandmother who was graduating from BC3?
Yeah, that's right. I think that that's always... our student body has always reflected that as a community college. You know, it isn't just those traditional age high school students. We have just this last month at commencement, we had a mother and daughter graduating together in the same program. So we see those stories often.
Not as unusual as it used to be. Right. Huh?
Definitely not.
Well, the number of future college students coming down the pipeline may continue to shrink. You know, we just had a story last week. It was commencement at Butler High School. Dr. Brian White, I know you know Dr. White, when he was speaking to the school board, was talking about numbers. I know when I started here at WISR, the graduating class at Butler High School was like 1,001, close to 1,200.
Wow.
1,200. Mm-hmm. This year, Butler graduated 495 students.
Wow.
And Dr. White said their numbers for second grade starting in the fall, 400.
Yeah, my gosh.
So, I mean, it's been an incredible decline in student population in the Butler schools.
Yeah. Well, and think about it. Actually, our what I would call catch rate of Butler High students who would end up matriculating to BC3 is a very high number, incredibly high. It's at least 25%, perhaps even more. So our percentage, it hasn't changed over the years, but 25-30% of 400 or 500 is far different than 1,200.
Yeah.
And that's what the colleges and universities are facing.
all over the country, by the way.
Correct.
Right. Certainly not unique to our area. Representatives from Butler County Community College attended something called the Strategic Horizons Network Colloquia. Colloquia, there's a word out of the Latin language, that's for sure. That was in Colorado. What the heck was that?
Well, I'm glad this is on the list. We are part of a group, a network of 9 community colleges from across the country. It is a selective group. This has its history embedded in the College of Education at the University of Michigan, a fellow by the name of Dick Alford did some great research on community colleges from long ago. There are community colleges from Pennsylvania, a couple from New York, one from Maryland, one from Flint, Michigan. That's very interesting with the water situation there. Tulsa, Amarillo College in Texas, whose vision, a great president, actually a communications background from this president. He was highlighted in the Chronicle of Higher Education within the last month or so, and their motto is Caring College. Open 365 days a year, 24/7, and any homeless person in that community who needs whatever, even if it is shelter, shower, food, is that this college embraces that particular population.
Mm.
So it is a very forward-thinking group, and we come together twice a year, and we'll go to various spots across the country, and the beauty of this model is that although it's 9 higher ed institutions, is that we will go out and listen to hear speakers, and then we will go out into real-world type companies, organizations. A scheduled trip for the fall would be going to Zappos in Las Vegas. It's an online, I believe it's with Shoes, and has a very interesting organizational culture. Mm-hmm. And you're able to take this real world stuff and then apply it to the higher education world. Mm. I guess it would be a good transition from our earlier discussion point. It's a way of diversifying the way that we do things. And creating new funding streams through social enterprise speaks to enrollment decline, speaks to our role in the communities that we serve. So talking about that, incubators and accelerators, utilizing auxiliary enterprises, it could be food that is generated from your culinary or hospitality program. There's a social enterprise at Mohawk Valley in New York, Utica, New York, where somehow or another retired Boeing or large jets along those lines will somehow or another be shipped to this college campus or nearby location to the college campus. And then the students in whatever programs it would be, technical programs, would strip these retired planes of its parts. And then through the advances of social media and utilizing the technology, and this is under the foundation at Mohawk Valley, would then be able to sell those parts and have a different revenue stream that is coming in to the college, to the foundation, that utilizes students.
Mm.
And that's where higher education is in the 21st century. You have to think of those type of possibilities. And, of course, my colleague presidents from across the country, it's so flattering. They know what we do here at BC3, the money that we have raised. But we all learn from one another, and it was a tremendous trip to Denver to learn along those lines.
We'll take a quick break, talk more with Dr. Nick Neupower, president of Butler County Community College, in just a moment. One of our sponsors on the program today is Gone Postal Butler, your friendly neighborhood shipping center. They're located in the Shockey Mini Storage Complex, which is right behind King's and Villa Grande restaurants on Newcastle Road. Pretty convenient. And wow, talk about convenience. They package your items for shipping. At Gone Postal Butler, you take your stuff there, they package it up and ship it out. U.S. Postal Service, UPS, FedEx, that's your choice, but they'll package it up for you. They also offer other services, copying, scanning, faxing. You can rent a temporary mailbox there. They even have an official notary. Open Monday through Friday, your friendly neighborhood shipping center, that's going postal, Butler. Another sponsor is the Society of St. Vincent de Paul. Just a reminder for backyard gardeners. Yeah, you got the plants in now? Hope so. Tomato plants, the pepper plants, the beans, or whatever. Just a reminder that if you can see your way clear, why not donate some of your excess produce in another few weeks when the produce starts coming in to the Society of St. Vincent de Paul Food Bank. They've had a collection program for several years now, and it's really wonderful for the needy families to be able to get some fresh vegetables and fresh produce, as opposed to most of the stuff from a food bank is, you know, non-perishable items. So think about it. It's been very successful. In a few weeks, we'll have details for you on their weekly collection process. They make it very easy for you. But just think about saving a little bit from your backyard garden. A couple of tomato plants, a couple of peppers, some beans for the Society of St. Vincent de Paul Food Bank. They like to say we stand tallest when we stoop to help others. We're talking with Dr. Nick Neupower, the president of Butler County Community College, with us here today, along with Jess Matnock, head of communications for the school. We were talking about an interesting program at, I think it was Utica Community College in New York, about stripping aircraft. Speaking of aircraft, we had big news since the last time we chatted with a collaboration between Butler County Community College and the Community College of Beaver County.
Yes, and another great transition there. Thank you for that. That wasn't planned.
I specialize in that.
Yeah. That's that journalism degree from Penn State. Yes, we had a tremendous announcement, which is symbolic of so many things. There's definitely a shortage across the board for airlines. It is pilots, it would be air traffic control, mechanics, and Community College of Beaver County is one of maybe a couple of dozen colleges from across the country. There's roughly 1,200 community colleges across the country. And CCBC has long been known, one of its anchor programs, of course, is the aviation program. It is situated in Chippewa. But this particular model, which really coincides very nicely with a vision of our wonderful county commissioners to elevate the airport, what is now known as the Pittsburgh-Butler Regional Airport, to elevate its status, my verbiage here, more along the lines of what's going on at Arnold Palmer in Latrobe.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot that goes into that, a lot that attaches to a bigger picture economic development approach that is going on very well here at the county. And the commissioners approached us a number of years ago about starting an aviation program. And very much to their credit, listened when we said, we're one county over with a sister college in the Commonwealth that is one of only two dozen in the country that does this. Let's see if we can end up partnering with CCBC. And that's exactly what it is that we did. So as the airport has elevated in status and you have High Flight Academy who is offering its programs at the airport, that's the actual flight time.
Mm-hmm.
And CCBC is already credentialed and has the accreditation and the expert faculty members and the infrastructure to do this. Let's have this partnership. So it is a three-way partnership between BC3, CCBC, and High Flight Academy that is geared towards high school students. And it's my understanding, Jess knows some of the details, that it seems like the incoming class for next year, that the recruiting is going very well for this.
Yeah, so it's high school juniors and seniors. It's a high school academy.
Mm-hmm.
And what took place besides this announcement was that High Flight Academy received their FAA certification to be a Part 141 flight school, which essentially means they're able to prepare the students in this high school academy for aviation for their private pilot certificate. An instrument flight rating. So that was, you know, without that Part 141 and really without the foresight of the presidents and our county commissioners, you know, we wouldn't be able to offer this opportunity. It is meeting a demand, and it it allows students to explore different pathways. So not just becoming a professional pilot, but there's air traffic control and unmanned aerial vehicles and aerospace management. So drones, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, they're recruiting. We've been recruiting for the past couple of months, bringing high schools into the actual hangar, looking at some of the planes, experiencing the flight simulators, learning about the curriculum of the program, and deciding if that's something that they might want to pursue during their junior and senior year of high school.
It checks off the STEM box. It certainly checks off the collaboration. Actually, it goes back to that networking that we talked about a little bit ago. I think it's wonderful because it shows why duplicate services. Why would our college go forward with the very expensive accreditation, the very expensive equipment, the full-time faculty members that would be associated? Why not just go forward and partner? And might I add, I think I have these numbers correct. Jess will let me know if I don't. It's a 28-credit certificate that these students would have coming out of high school. And I want you to know the BC3's piece in this is only 6 general education credits. So we're offering the gen eds, and CCBC is offering the technical classes that are in this area. But it's about doing the right thing. To me and to our board, it wasn't important that be a 14-14 split or what have you. This is a win for our county. It pushes forward the vision of our county commissioners for the airport authority. It's a win for our local high schools. And it was a very big day, I think, in the history of BC3.
And it's interesting in terms of career opportunities. I've seen some TV commercials over the past year or so indicating that there is an anticipated great need for mechanics, airline mechanics.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then I saw a story on The Wire just last month that said with the anticipated retirement of a great many air traffic controllers, that's going to be a severe need.
Yes.
And I saw another story that many of the airlines, certainly the regional airlines, but even the big names, are going to be experiencing a pilot shortage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, for decades of commercial aviation, many of the pilots came out of the military.
Yeah.
You know, they would have been Air Force pilots. They retired, and they were gobbled up by the airline. Well, there's not as many of those anymore.
Mm-hmm. When it goes back to what we discussed earlier, Butler High, 1,200 students, second grade class, 400. That there is such a trickle effect from that. Mm-hmm. There aren't the numbers. It's not that BC3 or CCBC or Slippery Rock University isn't doing a good job producing the students. It is not just that our enrollments are hurt, but from manufacturing, piloting, volunteer firefighters, there isn't the end size going forward. And the competition, not only from a college perspective, university perspective, but also from an employer perspective. Right now, it's a very different market than when I graduated from Penn State in 89. Potential workers who are qualified, et cetera, they don't have to settle for the $10 an hour job. There are now the $15, $16, $17 an hour job. So you're absolutely spot on with that. It's impacting not only the higher ed, but across the board.
Great opportunity for juniors and seniors in high school to explore this as an area of interest and certainly a possible career choice
A
few years down the road. So, indeed, that was a big announcement. Came out just a couple of weeks ago. Kids on Campus. I don't know how long this program has been going on, Jess Matnock, but I know the first time I saw one of the brochures, I was thinking, my goodness, I wish this would have been available when I was a kid.
Yeah.
When I was that age. This is a big program on campus during the summer.
It is, and I believe the 21st year.
Wow.
We're in the 21st year of offering Kids on Campus.
We'll talk about this a little bit because it's different in a number of ways from what people might think of as, you know, somewhere to send the kids for summer. Number one, it's an enrichment. It's not busy work. It's an enrichment camp. And there's a great deal of flexibility here about how long kids might go or when they might go, correct?
Right. So it's a summer enrichment program through grades K through 12. There are new camps that start every week, starting Monday. Monday's the first week of KOC and through the first week of August. So they are Monday through Thursday, and they can be in the morning, they can be in the afternoon, or if you would like to take a camp in the morning and in the afternoon, there's before and after care options for working parents, and then knowing that they are going to be in a safe, secure environment on our main campus with a variety of different subjects to explore. So we have camps for kids in all of those grades in the STEM field. Or the STEM area. We have cooking classes.
Science, technology.
Engineering and math.
Yeah. STEM, okay.
There are some robotics types. That would be an example of one of the STEM ones. Robotics camps. There are cooking camps. There are sports, physical activity camps. Just really some interesting activities for the students to do while they're there, and then projects that they have to present at the end. There's a theater camp, and they put on a performance for their family and friends after they complete the camp. So it's really a nice program.
And depending on the camps, you could go for a week, you could go for 2 weeks.
You could go all summer long.
Or you could go 1 week in June and 1 week in July. I mean, it's very, very flexible.
Absolutely, yeah. Just in the morning, just in the afternoon, whatever really suits your schedule. They try and be really flexible with the offerings. So should be a busy summer.
If any families didn't get that brochure, is that information available online?
It is. bc3.edu/KOC. The full schedule is available on our website. Or if you call into to the college, we can mail a print schedule right to the house. So,
great example of being the community's college, of the diversification of the different types of programs that we offer. And frankly, I've heard this over the years, getting exposure for students who are first grade through 12th, K through 12, a familiarity with the college, the beauty of our college. Who knows down the line that might possibly convert into enrollment in our college? And over the years, I have heard of students who have said that whether it was exposure watching our athletic teams or at Kids on Campus, they had a real cool connection with the Butler County Community College and eventually would enroll for classes.
And I would imagine for kids of that age, there's a certain cachet about being able to be on campus. After all, put them up a couple of notches among their peers,
That's right. I mean, they're sharing the same lab. For example, that robotics class I mentioned earlier, they're in the same lab as our college students take robotics classes in. So they're exposed not to just our beautiful campus, our outdoor facilities, but really, our top-of-the-line labs and equipment that we have for college credit courses. So it's pretty neat.
KOC, Kids on Campus. You might want to look into it. And by the way, not just parents. Maybe you have grandkids or a niece or a nephew that you think might do well in this or might be of value to them. Hey, make that as a birthday gift.
Yeah.
Hey, we're sending it for a week.
Yeah, it's a good suggestion.
Kids on Campus. Yeah, it's a great idea. We'll take a break. Back with more. By the way, just a reminder, program note, tomorrow we're taking the program on the road. We're going to be broadcasting It's Your Turn live from Lake Arthur Golf and Country Club tomorrow. We're going to be talking a little golf.
Great.
On the program tomorrow. Good time to do it with the U.S. Open underway out at Pebble Beach. So I hope you can be with us for that tomorrow starting at 12:30. We will be right back.
Michael's Restaurant is now open for breakfast at 7 a.m. Join us for breakfast any day of the week, including after church on Sundays. Have you made plans for dinner yet? Bring the family for a great home-cooked meal. Michael's Restaurant also offers great Sunday dinner specials, stuffed chicken breasts, stuffed pork chops, lasagna, and more.
Put on your boogie shoes and get ready to dance the night away when the Platinum Band comes to the Tanglewood Entertainment Center on Saturday, June 15th. You'll relive some of the greatest hits from the 70s and 80s, but just when you think it's over, that's when the Motown and R&B kick in. Doors open at 6, buffet dinner by Chef George at 7, show starts at 8. Tickets are only $25, and as always, it's BYOB. It's the Platinum Band at the Tanglewood Entertainment Center, Saturday, June 15th. Call 724-287-0021 for tickets.
Central Electric does everything it can to keep costs down for members. If we can reduce the electricity purchase during high demand periods, we will help stabilize future power costs for our members. You can help. When you hear a peak alert announcement on the radio, please turn off all non-essential electric items, especially dehumidifiers and pool pumps, and set your air conditioner no lower than 78 degrees. Our peak alerts and the radio broadcasts usually occur in the summer months from June to September, and typically in the afternoon between noon and 6 p.m. So be alert for peak alerts. With your help, we can keep your energy bill down. At Central Electric, safety is everyone's responsibility. My name is Laura Hensley, and I make safety a top priority because being proactive about safety on and off the job helps us all get home safely. Why do you? This institution is an equal opportunity provider and employer.
Hey, welcome back. Nice to have you with us on the It's Your Turn program for a Thursday, one of those days where we're making our own sunshine today because Mother Nature is not providing any. Dr. Nick Neupower is here, president of Butler County Community College. Jess Matnock is here as well. Hope is dope. Now, I remember this before from BC3. What's the latest on this, Jess?
Yes, you probably have remember hearing Reset Your Brain, Hope mm-hmm. is Dope.
Yeah.
It's a class series that we've offered now in Butler, Lawrence, and the third location is Mercer County. And it is... It's a program that is focused on tackling opioid awareness and helping those with opioid addiction who it's affected their life really mm-hmm. in any way, even a family member. Mm-hmm. If any sort of experience with it, how to cope with that. And how to resurrect endorphins in the brain.
Yes. We have our coordinator of the program is Tracy Hack, who's situated downtown here. And we really rely on a person who used to be a colleague of mine when I was a sports reporter, a fellow by the name of Steve Troy, who has written a book, the book Hope is Dope, Achieving Chemical Balance, A New Eyes, A Unifying Vision of Science and Spirituality. And it really is a macro level approach that does a deep, deep dive. And it has just absolutely taken off for us. Again, this is probably the fourth or fifth time I said it. As the community's college, we're more than offering just those academic courses. It's very important. Quality of life, social justice issues, workforce, and economic development. This speaks to this. We're very proud of the fact that it has expanded beyond, frankly, what was in the city of Butler and now to Lawrence County and Mercer Counties.
And it's grant-funded, so it's free yes. to participants.
And this program will be offered now at BC3 locations there. Is that the deal?
It's actually going to be at the Rohr Center, and that is in Mercer and in Sharon.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Well, good stuff. Hope is dope. A professor at Butler County Community College, Cheryl, is it Macon? Is that how you pronounce the name?
Macon.
Okay, sorry, Cheryl. Organized an interesting effort recently, and really it's quite a wonderful human interest story, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She organized, there were 80-plus BC3 faculty, staff, students who signed and sent cards to the Butler VA. For Flag Day. They're actually going to arrive tomorrow is Flag Day, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow's Flag Day. Yes, yeah, so they'll arrive tomorrow for those residents at the Butler VA. She started this, I guess she and I don't know Cheryl well, but I know that her family has military background.
Mm-hmm.
So this is something that's like really near and dear to her heart. So we appreciate that when our faculty have those sorts of things that they're passionate about, they bringing the opportunity to our other students and staff on campus to participate in these bigger level types of efforts. So,
and it's a continuation of our approach, not only of doing the right thing, but also larger strategic direction of working with students, families who are in the military. What, it was several years running where we were named a military-friendly school.
6 years in a row. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and there are special, of course, you have what I know is GI funding that is available. We have a Vets Club. Stella Smith, who works in our financial aid office, has done a great job with our veteran population. We have a Vets Lounge.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say a green zone that just popped in my head. Green zones, which are like safe spaces for student veterans on campus.
Great, great point. So I didn't realize some of the common characteristics of our veteran students. They sit in certain places in a classroom.
Mm.
And I talked to a few of them over the years as part of our approach in helping the vets. So they will sit generally in a corner of a classroom with their back against the wall. They're just trained that way.
Wow.
Certain loud sounds, certainly. The other point that we have trained our faculty members that it's not necessarily something that our student veterans want to talk about. And there's even been some situations over the years where we talk about wars as part of our history classes, and it has elicited a certain response from our vet students, which is certainly understandable. But from our point of view and working with this wonderful population, there's a lot of training that is involved. So to me, this is a continuation of the great efforts that we've already made as a school that focuses on veterans.
So the efforts of this particular prof, more concerned with her family military background as opposed to what she teaches?
Yeah. Cheryl is in the business area, has taught some business classes, and also in our HR program, so I do believe that it was the connection with family.
I must interject here that I had a absolutely wonderful conversation just last week with a history prof at Butler County Community College. Deborah Kruger was here in the studio, and I called upon her to discuss the significance and the background of the 75th anniversary of D-Day,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which was a week ago today. It was last Thursday, June 6th. So she came into the studio, even though it's summertime, and a wealth of knowledge.
Yeah.
I mean, my goodness, I could have talked to her all afternoon.
Yeah.
About there was a lot of stuff on TV about D-Day and so on, video clips, but I was able to probe her for the background and how it all came about and the months, years actually, of build-up to it and so on. So,
and Professor Kruger had big shoes to fill because Dr. Bill Weisberger, who is a very well-known scholar, still actually does publish, was a history professor at the college, holy mackerel, all the way back to the very early days of BC3, and Bill has been retired now for what I would guess would maybe be a few to several years, and Deb has come in and just does a fantastic job. I know that from a personal perspective. Our daughter Paige had her for a history class when Paige was at BC3. Deb is very involved with the local historical society, and it is I just love hearing when our expert faculty members, like Professor Macon, Professor Kruger, has an opportunity to reach out to the community. It really is the strength of our faculty and college as a whole.
I ask her, you know, did you talk about this, about the approaching 75th anniversary of D-Day with your students? She said, oh, yes. She said, I had them, as part of that study unit, had them watch Saving Private Ryan and come back to talk about it, which is good for most of the students in her class of that age. Maybe wouldn't know that
much
about
something?
D-Day.
That's for sure.
Good way to do it. Well, anyway, It was a great chat. If you see her, tell her that we really appreciated her being here.
We were talking yesterday about that. Dr. Willoughby and I think I mentioned earlier on the show last time that we gave a presentation at Mohawk Valley Community Colleges on generational differences. And what you said there about Deb students and the 18 to 22-year-old right now, we forget, born in after 2000, believe it or not. And when we gave the presentation, we had the different generations, the workforce at Mohawk Valley, about 100 people, sit in tables that were identifiable with their generations. And the millennials talked about characteristics that helped shape their lives. And there's no question, post-September 11th, that was something that was very big. And also security in the schools. Mm. Basically, that you walk through metal detectors, the police shootings, what have you. Remarkably, the baby boomer generation talked about closing the blinds and hiding under the desks that were associated with the Cold War. And as Dr. Willoughby pointed out in a meeting where Jessica and I were attended yesterday, my goodness, just the differences in the millennials had no concept that that's what that generation did associated with the Cold War.
Yeah. Small comfort that would have been.
Yeah.
Hide under your desk, but that's what they did.
Yeah. So it's a good point that you bring up as time goes on and we all get older. Basically, our demographic, for the most part, is the same. While we have non-traditional students, you know, that sweet spot is the 18 to 22-year-old. And when you just take into consideration, they weren't born in the 20th century. They were born in the 21st century. So for Professor Krueger to go over something as significant as D-Day and World War II is very much a part of that educational experience at the college.
We'll take a break. We're chatting with Dr. Nick Neupower, president of Butler County Community College. We'll be back with more after these words.
Thinking about remodeling or refinancing your home? ARMCO Credit Union's new HELOC combines the flexibility of a traditional home equity line of credit with the low fixed rate of a home equity loan. Lock in different amounts, rates, and terms up to 20 years under one convenient loan agreement and monthly payment without the hassle of reapplying as your borrowing needs change. It's never been easier to join, so call or visit us at one of our locations or online at armcocu.com to become a member. ARMCO Credit Union is an equal housing lender and is federally insured by NCUA.
If you're looking for a place full of deals for Father's Day, then your search is over. Osterling's Lawn and Garden has some amazing deals for Dad. They have 25% off metal fire pits.
Wow, I can actually feel that heat.
So you can spend some quality time with Dad around the campfire.
Cool.
Fire. All Nebo tools have been marked down 40%, and even prices on Rata knives were cut back 25%. Dad's going to love all these amazing Father's Day gifts, and you're going to love the prices at Osterling's Lawn and Garden.
Are you sick of chronic pain and all that goes with it? You are eligible for your medical marijuana card. How do you get your card without the hassle? Compassionate Certification Centers for your medical marijuana card or CBD visit. Visit cccregister.com. That's cccregister.com or call 888-316-9085 today. Compassionate Certification Centers can help you get your medical marijuana card and connect you with certified doctors that can answer all of your questions.
Welcome back, folks. I must say congratulations are in order for Dr. Nick Neupower, who participated without injury in the Dancing with the Stars Butler County version. We chuckle. We had a good laugh out of this, but hey, this was a big fundraiser for the Butler Symphony.
Yes, it was. Thank you for that. It was a big time commitment, but a time commitment that was well worth it. All in the family, so not only from the BC3 side, but Jessica's father, Bob, was the MC, and we have so many friends of the college, faculty like Judy Wadding and other friends of the college like Janice Larrick and others. There was a great connection. It was a great cause. It was an absolute blast. It seemed to go over very well. And it wasn't just the president of the college. It was county commissioners and other folks who were very busy but gave up their time for such a great cause. So
I believe everyone walked away unscathed. No injuries.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, inquiring minds want to know, what was the dance that you did?
It was
Foxtrot? Waltz?
He did an amazing rendition of the Pennsylvania Polka.
All right.
Yes. Coupled with
old-time rock, the screech of the record, then old-time rock and roll, and then back to the Pennsylvania Polka. So as my dance partner, who's awesome, Kathy Kelly, could not recommend her more highly, Mariposa in Seven Fields, contacted me, first time we ever talked, what do you like dancing to? And I said, I've never really done this, that fact. And tell me about yourself. And I said, well, other than the college and family, it's Pittsburgh absolutely through and through. So maybe could we get something from Bobby Vinton to Brett Michaels to Donnie Iris, something Western Pennsylvania. And she was awesome. She thought about it and said, well, it's not exactly what you were thinking in terms of those entertainers, but what about, what's more Pittsburgh than the Pennsylvania Polka, old-time rock and roll for weddings? And to make it even better, I came out in a Ralph Kiner shirt. She came out in a Steeler shirt. And then as part of the routine, there was a stripping of those shirts. And it was pretty awesome.
I didn't realize you did a medley of dances. Yeah. That's even more impressive.
Yeah. It really was. And his family, his wife and daughters, and just friends from the college. Everyone had their terrible towels waving in the air, celebrating the accomplishment of the Pennsylvania Polka. So it was really fun.
It was
nice. I was happy to attend. And it grossed $40,000.
I was going to say, it was a big fundraiser for the symphony that we want to keep, that's for sure.
Yeah, so. No question.
Hey, hats off. Congratulations to the Butler County Community College Pioneer Golf Team. And this is just recent, just within the past couple of days. They wrapped up the, it's a long stretch. It was the Division III National Junior College Championships, I think, or something like that. Jess, you would know that. But BC3 placed seventh.
They did. In the NJCAA, which is the National Junior College Athletic Association, were Division III in that national tournament. They placed seventh. And that was in Chautauqua?
Yes.
New York?
Yes.
Last week.
Beautiful territory up there, Lake Chautauqua.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nice golf course. And I did want to mention the young man who did particularly well. I'm looking through my notes here because I saved it from our news story of a few days ago. Noah Morgan.
Yep.
Who is a sophomore at BC3.
Mm-hmm.
And a graduate of AC Valley High School, by the way, as well. He was kind of the leading golfer for BC3.
He was. He fell just short of the All-American status. So the All-American status is awarded to the top 18 golfers, and he was 19. But he's really performed well this season for the Pioneers.
Ironically, I just spoke with Coach Miller before the show here, so I had an opportunity for a rundown from Coach Miller. Bill Miller is part of BC3 history and is really – I would say a legend at the college, not only as a student athlete, but then admissions and a dean, and still as a golf coach. And he said it was a great group of golfers, a great camaraderie, and went over how a couple of breaks didn't fall our way at Chautauqua. But very proud of Coach Miller, the team, and of course our athletics in general. We had another great year for our athletic teams at the college.
I know when we did this story a few days ago, I had mentioned on the air that there's a long history of great success in golf at BC3, and there were a couple of people here at the station that didn't even realize it was a golf team. I said, yeah. Oh, my. They go back many, many years with great success.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, one of the – if you're talking about all the sports teams at the school – the golf team would stand out for outstanding, long-running success. Well, hats off to all of them. And kind of nice to see Butler County Community College doing well on the national stage.
Yeah.
For goodness sakes,
yeah.
You know.
And I think what also speaks to the success that we've had on the playing field or the court, as well as what is far more important in the classroom, is that we led the conference this year with 30 student athletes for spring sports teams that made the All-American team. And we topped the Western Collegiate Conference's spring sports all-academic team for a second consecutive year to be eligible for the WPC. See, all academic spring and fall sports teams, student athletes must carry a minimum of 12 credits, and those with a GPA of 3.0 to 3.49 attain honors, and those with GPAs that go from 3.5 to 4.0 will receive high honors. And on the academic All-American team includes Joel Stutz and Mackenzie Craig, and those were two of our leading scorers for both men's and women's basketball teams, respectively. Were also awarded in the classroom, and of course we know that's what it's all about.
I have great admiration for student athletes who are able to balance their scholastic work mm-hmm. and still, you know, all the practice time and competition time for sports. I don't know whether I would have been able to swing that or not. It takes a lot of discipline.
And break records like Mackenzie and Joel at the same time.
Yeah, true.
Well, and throw in the fact that for the community college student, they're commuting. Mm-hmm. Some of them are still holding jobs. They're practicing games, family obligations, of course, in the classroom. It really signifies that we have a special group of students, no question.
A final break. We'll be back to wrap up our program for Thursday right after these words.
How would you describe driving and parking in Pittsburgh? Long, stressful? How about expensive? If you are answered yes to any of these, then the Butler Transit Authority is here to help. With comfy coach buses equipped with free Wi-Fi and USB ports, commute to Pittsburgh stress-free and economically. With fares starting at just $3.87, not sure if it's for you? Try it out for free. BTA is offering 4 full weeks of transportation completely free the third week of May, June, July, and August. For more information, schedules, and park and ride locations, visit butlertransit.com.
I'm Dr. Megan Miller, a primary care sports medicine specialist at Tri-Rivers Musculoskeletal Centers. Whether it's a 5K or a full marathon, runners are as active as ever in these summer months. As a runner myself, I know how to treat the specific injuries, sprains, and strains you may experience on your journey. You can count on me to provide top-notch sports medicine care and get you back to doing what you love. For more information or to schedule an appointment, please visit tririversmsk.com or call 1-866-874-7444.
That frightening sound is one we hear quite often throughout the day. Our heart quickens and immediately we wonder what happened. A medical emergency can be frightening, every tick of the clock crucial. And that's why Butler Ambulance Service is dedicated to be there with every ounce of care possible. Butler Ambulance Service is within minutes of providing you or a loved one with treatment and transportation. Call 282-9595 to find out more. Butler Ambulance Service is a phone call away from serving you.
Hi, this is Howie Pinckney with Pinckney Capital Management in Portersville. Today, many people need help managing their investments. The investment options available today can be confusing. If you would like to talk to someone for help, why not call me for an appointment? Howie Pinckney at Pinckney Capital Management, 1284 Perry Highway, Portersville, Pennsylvania. My telephone number is 724-368-4224. Securities and advisory services offered through Commonwealth Financial Network. Member FINRA, SIPC, a registered investment advisor.
Well, our time is about gone here. I did want to mention one more thing, however, and continue expansion of programs, new certificate and degree added at one of the locations of Butler County Community College, Linden Point. And that's the one in Mercer County, right?
It is,
correct.
Yeah.
Mercer County.
It's in Hermitage.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And medical coding and billings specialist certificate and associate degree in computer science. That would be pretty handy to have these days if you're looking for a career, I would think.
Yes.
Computer science,
Yes. The medical coding and billing specialist, that's actually a one-year program. And then the computer science is an associate degree.
And those would be considered occupational terminal degree type programs. While students could utilize those programs to transfer, These are designed, frankly, to go directly into those high-priority occupational fields where there is a need. You could certainly go back to STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math type things, certainly related to the whole healthcare professions. Very pleased that we continue to add programs not only on our main campus online, but also at our off-campus locations.
Dr. Nick Neupower and Jess Matnock visiting with us today from Butler County Community College. Enjoy the rest of your day, folks. We'll see you tomorrow at 12:30 for the Friday edition of It's Your Turn.
Thanks for joining us for today's edition of It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey here on WISR 680 AM. Today's broadcast is also archived for you online at WISR680.com. Tune in again next time for Dave Malarkey's It's Your Turn, weekdays from 12:30 to 1:30, right here on WISR 680.
We now join Pittsburgh Pirate Baseball in progress, score 1-1 in the Pirate Atlanta Brave game.
I need love, love to ease my mind. I need to find someone to call mine. But mama said you can't hurry love. No, you just have to wait. She said love don't come easy. It's a game of give and take. You can't hurry love. No, you just have to wait. You gotta try.